Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at CJC 1295.
Right.
It's not something you'll find, you know, on the shelf just yet, but the science around it, definitely picking up steam.
Absolutely. We've gathered a bunch of early stage research on this. It's basically a lab-created version or analog of a natural growth hormone signal, GHRH.
Okay. And our mission today really is just to cut through the noise, sift through this preclinical stuff, and pull out what's genuinely interesting, what might actually be significant down the line.
Exactly. Think of it as a primer on why CJC 1295 is catching researchers' attention. We're focusing on how it seems to affect growth hormone, GH, and also IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1.
Okay, let's dive in then. The big headline from these early studies seems to be its knack for boosting both GH and IGF-1 levels.
That's the core finding, yes. A sustained increase.
And what's really striking, I thought, was how consistent this looks across different animals. You see it in rats, pigs, dogs.
That cross-species consistency is really notable. It makes the findings feel a bit more robust, you know. Even showed up in those special GHRH knockout mice we can talk about.
Right, and preliminary human data points the same way.
It does. Early human investigations mirror this, suggesting CJC 1295 reliably triggers this rise in both hormones. And importantly, it seems to be dose-dependent.
Meaning you can potentially control the level of response, more CJC, more GH and IGF-1, within limits, obviously.
Sort of like a dimmer switch rather than just on-off.
Yeah.
That's the idea suggested by the dose dependency, yes.
Okay, so it boosts the hormones. But here's where, for me, it gets really interesting. It's how long it works. Natural GHRH is pretty fleeting, isn't it?
Oh, incredibly fleeting. Gone in minutes, really. That's the big innovation with CJC 1295. It's staying power. It has a much, much longer half-life.
How does it manage that? The research mentions binding to something.
Serum albumin, yeah. It essentially latches onto albumin, which is this really common protein floating around your blood. Think of albumin as like a big cargo ship. By attaching to it, CJC 1295 avoids getting filtered out or broken down quickly. It's protected, allows it to hang around much longer.
So it's like built-in protection, extending its activity. And the numbers mentioned are pretty dramatic half-lives in humans of several days, maybe even a week.
That's the range reported in some studies, yeah. Compared to minutes for natural GHRH, it's a massive difference. A marathon versus a sprint, absolutely.
Which allows for that sustained stimulation of GH release we talked about.
Precisely. And this is a really critical piece from the human studies. Even though the overall levels of GH go up and stay up longer, the natural pattern of release, that sort of up and down pulse, seems to be maintained.
Ah, so it's not just a flatline increase. It keeps the body's natural rhythm going.
Exactly. And that pulsatility, that rhythm, is generally considered important physiologically.
Right. You hear that preserving the pulse is better for how the body's receptors work, helps avoid them getting overwhelmed or desensitized, kind of like gentle nudges instead of a constant push.
That's a perfect analogy. It suggests a more, let's say, naturalistic response, even with a synthetic compound. Which leads to the next question. What does this do, especially if natural growth signals are lacking?
Well, that brings us back to those GHRH knockout mice you mentioned, the ones that can't make their own GHRH signal properly.
Yes.
Yeah.
The results there were pretty compelling.
Giving them CJC 1295 daily, the study showed actually normalized their body weight and length, basically caught them up to normal growth.
It's quite a dramatic effect in that specific model, yes. And even when they gave it less often, say, not every day, those mice still grew significantly better than the ones that got nothing.
So in a research setting, at least, it really highlights the potential for addressing growth issues.
Definitely underscores the biological activity and its potential relevance for growth pathways.
Okay, so core function. Sustained GH and IGF-1 boost keeps the natural pulse and can impact growth in deficient models. Got it. But GH and IGF-1, they do way more than just growth, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're involved in a whole host of processes. And that's where exploring CJC 1295 gets even broader, thinking about those other roles based on these early findings.
Like metabolism, how we use energy.
Exactly. Yeah. GH and IGF-1 play roles in metabolism. So the preclinical work hints maybe CJC 1295 could influence things like fat breakdown lipolysis or how well the body handles glucose.
Interesting. So potential metabolic effects. What else? Building tissues.
That's another key area, that they're anabolic hormones involved in protein synthesis, muscle building, tissue repair. So could increasing them with CJC 1295 stimulate muscle growth or repair? That's a research question.
Like turning up the build and repair signal?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
And connected to that is general cellular repair and regeneration. These hormones are part of the body's toolkit for healing.
Okay, metabolism, muscle tissue building, repair. What about the brain? You wouldn't immediately connect growth hormone with that.
It's maybe less intuitive, but yeah, there's research suggesting GH and IGF-1 have roles in brain health, cognitive function. So some very early preclinical observations raise the possibility of neuroprotective effects. It's an emerging area.
Wow, okay. And the heart, cardiovascular system.
Also implicated, GH and IGF-1 are thought to help maintain cardiovascular health. So again, CJC-1295 becomes a tool to potentially study how sustained increases impact the heart and blood vessels. It's all interconnected.
It really seems to be. Any other systems?
Well, there's some exploratory work looking at immune modulation, how prolonged GH might affect the immune system, and of course, bone health.
Ah, right. Obvious connection there.
Yeah, GH and IGF-1 are crucial for bone formation and maintenance. So research into bone metabolism is another potential avenue.
It really paints a picture of hormones acting systemically, influencing so many different areas.
It does. It highlights how fundamental GH and IGF-1 are.
But with all this potential, we have to talk about safety. What did those early human studies show on that front? Were there side effects?
Good question. The initial human trials suggested it was generally well tolerated, at least at the doses they tested. Side effects reported were mostly described as mild and transient, didn't last long.
Okay, generally well tolerated in early studies, but, and this is a big but, isn't it? It's not actually approved for use.
Critically important point.
Yes.
CJC-1295 is not approved by regulatory bodies like the FDA for general clinical use, for most conditions anyway.
Right, so you can't just get a prescription. I think the notes mentioned it was investigated for some specific thing.
It was. Things like HIV-associated lipodystrophy, that's an unusual fat distribution, and also for growth hormone deficiency itself. But some of those trials were discontinued.
Which tells you something about the path from promising lab results to an actual approved medicine. It's not always straightforward.
Absolutely not. It highlights the hurdles.
Yeah.
And one more really important point on status. WIAA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, they prohibit it.
Because it boosts growth hormone, obviously,
Yeah.
performance-enhancing potential.
Exactly. So athletes can't use it.
Okay. So stepping back then, let's try and summarize the main takeaway from this deep dive into the early CJC-1295 research. What's the gist?
The gist is you have this compound showing real promise in preclinical work. It consistently and sustainably raises GH and IGF-1, crucially, while keeping that natural pulsatile rhythm.
Right.
And because of that, animal models suggest potential benefits way beyond just growth, touching metabolism, tissue building, maybe even neuroprotection, cardio health, bones, immune function. Lots of possibilities.
Right.
But, and it's huge, but this is mostly early stage stuff. Animal models, initial human safety data, we absolutely need more research, especially comprehensive, large-scale human clinical trial.
Need to confirm if these potential benefits translate to people and, crucially, understand the long-term safety and real-world effectiveness.
Precisely. The potential is intriguing, but the validation in humans is the critical next step that's still largely pending for widespread use.
So the story's definitely not finished yet, which kind of brings us towards the end of our deep dive for today.
Indeed, a lot covered.
And it leaves us and you with a thought to chew on. We've seen these fascinating early results for CJC-1295, and we know how fundamental GH and IGF-1 are.
So, looking ahead, if, and it's a big if, compounds like this can be developed that precisely tweak these pathways safely and effectively, what might be some of the really surprising, maybe even game-changing applications we haven't even thought of yet?
Yeah, it makes you wonder about the future possibilities for fine-tuning these core biological systems.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.